Thank you so, so much. In the wondrous name of Jesus, we say thank you so, so much. God, what you're doing, what you've done. Lord, what you're bringing us into. Help us to get a vision. Oh, help us to get a vision. Lord, the very love of God, the love that sent your Son so freely to die, to become sin for us who knew no sin. Lord, we're here to rejoice. Rejoice and behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Thank you, God, that we can behold the Lamb today and all the love that's within the Lamb. We're so grateful, Lord, what you're doing. Lord, your Holy Spirit here to anoint. God, open our hearts to receive it this day. God, let us not harden our hearts this morning. Lord, as you say in your word, break up the fallow ground. We're here to receive. But only you, Lord, can open the heart. And by your grace, we ask, in your tender grace and mercy, let us to be still and know that you are God, and to grow in your love this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, dear God. If you'd open your Bibles with me, we're going back to Genesis chapter 24. We're still in the love story of the Father for the Son, of the servant for the master's son, and praise be to God, the bride for the son. And we left off last week rejoicing in the camel. I tell you, he's removed another layer for me. I don't know about you, but I'm getting thankful who God has made me. Been battled like never before these last few weeks as God has prepared this. I know the enemy's come in and said, oh, no, you're not thankful for anything. I'm getting thankful for who God has made me. I realize that it's going to take exactly this old camel, by the grace of God, that I'm going to have to ride with his encouragement, with his filling, with his anointing, and by his grace, could it be right into the arms of my beloved bridegroom? Amen. Amen. But we left off with well-watered camels last week. We left off with a well-watered camel and a readied rider with a goal, with a vision to win and to finish with joy and to end up with nothing less than a bridal embrace with her beloved. And that, as we're going to read today a little bit, and as most of you know, caused her to say, I will go. I will go. Goodbye, family. Goodbye, familiar. I'm lost in love. And praise be to God, it's the faith that worketh by love. Amen. And I'm so grateful to that this morning, brothers and sisters. It's faith that worketh by love. We'll never get into believing and embracing this without the love of God just taking a hold of my heart. I can study it all I want up here. I could connect all the dots in the scriptures. But if the love of God doesn't penetrate this heart, it's never, ever, ever going to be real. And then when faith that worketh by love hits home, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's going to shoot you right out of your comfort zone, just like it did this sweet sister. She wasn't leaving home because she hated home. She loved her family. There was a great love story going on there, but she knew she had to go, and the faith that works by love shot her out of that zone, and she said, family, I'm off to spousal sanctification. You got to come Wednesday night. We stepped into some spousal sanctification last Wednesday, and it was awesome. And praise be to God. Sure, his children are sanctified. They're washed. And there is a separation of the family of God to him. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something special, oh, mighty special, when the bride, it hits home and she says, family, I got to go. Can't keep him waiting. I've got to go. So we rejoiced in this Eliezer, this servant here, that journeyed into the depths of Babylon to find this Rebecca, visiting the people of God to take out of them a bride for the master's son. And what's so incredible, it's a great story to read, but it's a great story to be in. And it's happening right now. See, our wonderful Father sent his son, not only to die, but upon that cross. Oh, hallelujah. The joy that was set before him. Joy to have a family, but a joy to have a bride. Do you remember, Father, when we sat there in ages past, and then we got to the point where you said, oh, it's not good that man should live alone. And here came his wife. And how wonderful, that's the wondrous type, that Jesus Christ is going to have a bride. And that same bride that came out of the depth of Babylon, well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, we're right there today. The family of God is functioning in an evil world today. The prince and the power of this air right now, a lot of people say, oh, that's God, that's Jesus Christ. Oh, no, it's not. God hasn't given the throne to his son as of yet. And best know it. Right now, we're in the midst of the prince and the power of this air is none other than the devil himself. But I'm excited about that. Because it tells me right in this wonderful story we're reading, that's exactly where he sent the Holy Spirit. To go get out from among the people of God a bride, a wife, a people, praise God for his name's sake. And we're living in that time. Oh my goodness, what a time it is. And we rejoice in that time. And brothers and sisters, we rejoice because we know, as we've been reading, that the only way that she's going to make that journey is on those camels. No other way. That ship was the only way you were going to get across that desert. That's the before ordained good works that we should walk in. And that camel, brothers and sisters, which we're seeing as a type of our flesh, must be ridden and conquered and by grace and grace alone brought into submission. Brought into submission. And as we pointed out last week, and I had heard so many times that, oh yeah, the way you get a camel to obey is you beat it and you smack it and you treat it bad and all. No, you don't. That's a falsehood. You love that camel. You train him. You groom him. You hit that thing, it'll spit on you. You kick it, it'll bite you. You do any more to it, I'll tell you what, might just stomp you to death. Yeah. But you feed it, and you water it, and you love on it, and you train it under the hand of the Holy Spirit. And oh my, what a camel it can be. Oh my, I hope you know that God's for you. And I hope you realize so wondrously and how precious it is that everything in your life that you've went through is what it took to bring you here this morning to hear the word of God. If you were any different, and I know you'd thinking as you're sitting there, oh, I'd like this different, and I'd like this different. How about accepting from the love of God right now? I brought you here this day. Every one of those weaknesses that you have, every one of those trials and tribulations and shortcomings, and even the successes and the overcoming victories and all of those things, they're all put together to bring you to this place today. That you're hearing a message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what do you want to change? Now, come on. Oh, I know I got hands coming up and they're in your head saying, oh, you don't realize, brother, what's got to change. No. Christ in me. Christ in me. That's the hope of glory and that's what's going to take care of it. He'll change you from glory to glory, even into the very image of him. It's a wonderful thing. It's not your doing. We're his workmanship. He's the potter. He's got the clay. God, help me to get away from it. Just mold me and make me after thy will, and he'll do it. It's amazing what he'll do. It's amazing the things that you have got to be brought through to realize that you can't do it over and over through your life. And how many times, Lord, I thought I already learned that lesson. Son, it's my work. It's my work. And the sooner that old camel begins to submit, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, what a journey can be wrought. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, there's a lot riding on these camels, brothers and sisters. Did you know that? There's a lot riding on them. God's very best is riding on them. The bride for the son is riding upon the camel. And we must care for the camel in the same way that this dear Rebecca cared for that camel. I just think it's so magnificent. The amazing example right from the start. Let's go ahead and read here in chapter 24. Let's read verses 17 and 18. And the servant ran to meet her. See, this is Eliezer because he saw her coming to that well. And see, that servant, he was sitting there thinking, oh, how long is this journey going to be? Oh, but there's great grace. Hallelujah. The very first well. Well, that's what the Word of God does. It works. It's real. It's there. And praise be to God, there she was. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. Oh my goodness, she hasted. I love that. See, there's urgency here. And brothers and sisters, there's urgency here. There's no time for hard to get. It isn't. It's time to go boldly. It's time to go fully. There's no time to mess around. Jesus is coming. We know it. His word tells us that he could appear at any moment. And then I could take flight any moment. I don't know. And as we said, it's but a vapor. Goes awful fast. I think about people that see me I haven't seen for years. My boy was, as I said, playing a high school basketball game. And there was a man that I hadn't seen since high school. And his boy was playing on the other team. And we looked at each other. Just shook our heads. And said, can you imagine that? Yeah. There's our young man. God help me to redeem the time. It goes so fast. There's an urgency here. And she recognized it. And she hasted. And it was so wonderful. Hallelujah. She knew that her beloved's hand was on the door. And see, she didn't mess around. You read that in Song of Solomon chapter 5. You got to get up. You got to move. There's no time to look at excuses or sit around there and think, oh, I've got more time. It is now. And that's the beauty about this sister. She moved in there now. And she drew that water until they were done drinking. Look at verse 19. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Done drinking. And I think that's so vital. Absolutely vital. We always think we've had enough. A sip here or there. Or, Lord, I'll get to that tomorrow. Or maybe next week. You've got today. We've got right now. The reason this sister is so precious is the urgency was met with a loving and open heart. She realized the opportunity. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I don't appreciate the dealing of the Holy Spirit near enough in my life. I've got the Holy Spirit dealing with me. He's filled my life. By the grace of God, I want Him to be full and overflowing in my life. God, help me not to delay. Help me not to hesitate. I want to be like this sister. She moved. She hastened. She did it now. And that word hasten, it doesn't just mean she did it hurriedly. She accelerated why she did it. I love it. The Lord's been putting on my heart to tell you it's increasing at an increasing rate. He even set this universe to do that. They looked out there into space and said, well, you know, the theory is this. Everything decreases at an increasing rate. No, it doesn't. Because you don't know God. Right. It gets better. It gets bigger. It gets brighter. In the ages to come, the exceeding riches of His grace. Hallelujah. I've heard people say, and I remember when I was a kid first learning about the Lord. Okay, I'm going to go up there. 1,000 years? What are we going to do for 1,000 years? 1,000,000 years? Forever? It's going to get greater and brighter and more glorious. This brain, this mind can't even imagine it. But praise be to God, but by the Spirit, yea, the deep things of God are coming in. And I'm just believing Him. And it's so wonderful because Jesus is about to take me there. And I'm about to begin a life. Oh, hallelujah. of living where I'm just in the presence of faith. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. What God is doing. But brothers and sisters, she emptied her pitcher in the trough. She ran again to get the well, to the well to draw water. She drew it for all the camels and she did it again. Full and overflowing. Saturated with the Word of God. Ready to go. And ready to go on. And studying this, I think a lot of times we as Christians get stuck at Pentecost. I really do. I think we think that that's the end all. It was just there in the upper room. That was just the beginning. That's where it all started. I'm so thankful of all the things the Holy Ghost does in my life, but I'm telling you what, the greatest thing the Holy Ghost is doing this exactly right here. He's visiting at this time to get a bride for Jesus. And we don't have anything to be excited about in the day? Come on. I needed a better car to drive. I needed a bigger house. I need people to treat me better. I need people to listen to me. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we are sitting on the gold mine of gold mines. Amen. We are so rich. Hallelujah. And yet I want to complain. We are so rich, and yet I want to murmur. I feel like those children in the wilderness. I just walked through a Red Sea on dry ground. And now I'm wondering, how am I going to drink? I'm ashamed. I have to tell you. But every time I get like that, he says, okay, now, honey, come on. Just rise right up here. Rise right up here. You needed to go through that again to realize who you are in Christ Jesus. Oh, visiting us now. And you see, brothers and sisters, there are many that go to water their camels. Many. But so few go like this sister. Oh yeah, she did it with joy unspeakable and full of glory. She did it like Brother David. He didn't just say, praise the Lord. He said, praise the Lord, O my soul. And it didn't stop there. He said, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That's why David was a man after God's very own heart. That's how come he could rejoice. That's how come he could fail so miserably and yet go into the courts of the Lord and say, I know I'm favored. Before thee and thee only have I sinned, and you know what? Your blood took care of all of it for me. It wasn't that he wasn't sorry. He was remorseful. He failed. It was so sad. But God said, arise. I don't know what you're talking about, son. You're my anointed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I sit there. And as much as that Holy Spirit wants to marvel at me, I just sit there and marvel at Him. And we marvel at one another. And we just sit there and marvel. And now I understand how when you get starry-eyed looking at that lover across that table that you wanted to ask her hand in marriage so much, and you just sat there and there weren't words for it. You just stared at each other. I'm just staring. Looking fully in those eyes. Knowing how He loves me. Oh, my goodness. We'll hurry along. I don't want to keep you too long. But see, brothers and sisters, she didn't go down there to show her goodness. She didn't do that. She didn't go down there begrudgingly thinking, oh, well, this is what I've got to do. I'll just get her done. I've been there. I know you haven't. I'm sorry to get so personal with you. But she did it for one reason. She did it for love. She just loved. There wasn't anything but love there. She was excited because of love. And you know what? She didn't even really know what was going on in a lot of ways. She didn't know fully. But she knew the Holy Spirit was there. And she was excited about it. And we need to get excited about it. The Holy Spirit's here. She knew something good was going to happen. The wedding train was coming. And something struck her heart. And she didn't dilly-dally around. She moved in. She moved in. What do you want me to do? You just ask. You've given this heart to be willing to give it over to you. You're willing and doing in my life of your good pleasure now. It's amazing. I want to move with you. And see, that's the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. He can cause us to move in that precious, precious fellowship of willing and doing of His good pleasure in our lives. And you see, she filled and refilled and filled and refilled because she didn't go down to that well for any other reason but love. I was thinking how there's many that go down to that well for knowledge. Come on. I've been there too. I'm going to get it. I'm going to go saturate my camel. Let me tell you something. Been there and done it. You take the camel down that way. Not only will you not saturate the camel, you'll drown the camel. Yeah, you'll drown him. Get so deep, as Brother Hill used to say, and I chuckle, but I hit me seriously. You get so deep, a bubble doesn't come up, huh? Yeah, think of that one. You do it out of love because He first loved me. I go down to that well to read my love letter. It's a love letter, isn't it? I just was so grateful to God. This morning He struck me with that again. Put that on my heart many times, but it was this morning. Opening up and there's my love letter again, Lord. And you know, I'm grateful to God. I lived a great distance from my wife as we courted one another. We didn't have texting. Thank you, Jesus. I won't embarrass my son today, but there was a movie called Mr. 3000, but we'll talk about that later. We didn't have instant messaging. We didn't have the computer. Dad let me talk on the phone, but we couldn't buy stock in AT&T that high. So it was the post office, and we wrote letters. And I don't know if you ever got a love letter. But I didn't go to that mailbox begrudgingly. I didn't go there slowly. I ran. I was in school. I don't want to tell my kids this, but they're listening. Now they're listening. And it was hard to concentrate. But I loved their mommy. And I still love her. And I ran. It's all I wanted to get. And she'd put little perfume on there sometimes, and I'd smell it. Now I'm embarrassing her. But she would write to me. And I would be so thankful to get that letter. And to read that letter. And I treasured that letter. And the only reason I read that letter is because of love. There wasn't anything else I was thinking about. This is the greatest love letter that's ever been written. Ever really, really realize it. It's the greatest love letter that's ever been written. And it's written anew every day. It's new every day, isn't it? He's got a different passage for me to go to. Sometimes it's even the same passage over and over. But it strikes my heart different every single time. Because it's alive and it's real. And He loves. Oh my. When we go to the well, we need to be thankful. Grateful, always going there in love. And I'm going to tell you something. You will get refreshed. Oh, you'll get beyond refreshed. There's the thing in the Word of God. It talks about a quickening. I love to be quickened. That was what Brother Paul said to Timothy when he was feeling a little down. I'm sure he went in there and was thinking, oh man, there's the Bible over there. His mom's there. His grandma's there. Everybody's around him. All the Word of God's around him. But he needs a quickening. Stir up the gift that's within thee by the laying on of my hands. Stir it up. You just let it sit there. It's not going to be any good just sitting there. It needs to expand. It needs to be stirred, all of those ingredients, just like when you cook, ladies and men. Stir it up. Get it going. Let those spices get into everything else. And man, does it get good. And it does get good. It gets so good, everybody wants a taste of it. And that's the truth. You know what I mean? People bubbling and overflowing in the Spirit, you want to get around them. Yep. And it is infectious by the grace of God. But you know what? Brother Paul couldn't stir that up. His mom couldn't stir it up. His grandma couldn't stir it up. Said, son, be a man. Stir it up. Didn't mean to just get hyper, get feeling about something. Read the love letter, son. Read the love letter. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is a precious time. To be led of the Holy Spirit in this life. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful, wonderful example we have. Verse 61. You can go out and read that in a little bit later, but I'm going to tell you what I want you to get out of that. Follow the man. Follow the man. You're following somebody today. You are. You're following somebody. Everybody's following something. Okay? And the wonderful thing I can tell you, if you're following the Holy Spirit, you're being led into all truth. It's exciting. It's amazing. If you're following the Holy Spirit by the grace of God, you're being led into all truth. It'll be amazing. It'll be sweet to the mouth. I'll guarantee you it'll be bitter to the stomach. He'll take you to places that, how could there be a well out here? But I'm going to tell you something. Next week, if the Lord tarry, dig deep. Dig deep. It's there. Sweetest water there's ever been. Dig deep. And brothers and sisters, that was just the exact same thing that Timothy was telling to Paul. Rightfully divide the word of truth when he came to him. Rightfully divide. And in the Greek, it's a wonderful thing. The word rightfully divide, it means a straight course. It's straight. And the Holy Spirit has one course. It's a straight course. The word of God is a straight course. The word of God is true. And the word of God, when we go after it, anointed in the Holy Ghost, it leads right into the arms of a beloved bridegroom. It's so amazing what it does. And we're under that calling, brothers and sisters. Follow the man. We had it given to us. Follow Paul as he followed Christ Jesus. It's important today. Paul wasn't just a good guy. Paul wasn't just somebody who spoke boldly. Paul just wasn't an apostle. Paul was the one that was given that wonderful revelation of the mystery, praise God, that Gentiles can now be fellow heirs, joint heirs as man and wife with Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. I want to follow him as he followed Christ. I'm not worshiping Paul. I believe that maybe by the grace of God, he was that brother that was up in heaven that took John's hand and said, hey, you get up here. Don't you be worshiping me. I know I'm mighty Christ-like and I love it. But don't you be worshiping me. We're brothers together. Hallelujah. God's put that calling on us. Oh, to go in for the very best. But brothers and sisters, I mentioned it earlier. As I really got to reading this story, I was a little bit, I had to feel a little bit bad, a little bit ashamed. This sister got it quick. She did. She was so thankful. She was so head over heels in love with Jesus. It was just so wonderful that she wanted to go. And the Holy Spirit said, son, let's get with it. Run harder. Run well. Press. Press. Don't delay. Don't be slothful. Don't grow weary in well-doing. There's a mark out there. And it's a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I put it before you. And I want you to run for it, son. I want you to run for it, son. I want you to run for it, son. And son, and son, and son, and son. I want you to grow up into me in all things. Hallelujah. And this joyful, willing vessel that we see here, praise God, is the life that leads into the midst of the throne. There was no hesitation with this sister. There was no fear. There was no questioning. You don't have time. We don't have time for this, brothers and sisters. It's now. The urgency, the calling is now. On Wednesday night, it was so sweet, I even mentioned it. As that servant was in there. Eliezer was talking to the family and saying, hey, look, she's got to go now. Right now is the calling. I'm sure that sister wasn't even in that room. She was on the camel yelling to Eliezer, let's go. We got to go. He got excited about her. He wondered after her. Go read verse 21 in here. He wondered at her, the Holy Spirit. He was blessed by this sister. It was amazing. He sat there and he went, oh my goodness. Look at what's going on in her. I want the Holy Spirit to wonder about me. I really do. By the grace of God, I want to go in and get all of it. By the grace of God, I want the Holy Spirit to reign in my life. I want to bless that Holy Spirit. How about you? He had to constrain himself. You'll read there too. He wanted to shout. He did. Because he was so thrilled. He was so amazed at what the grace of God can do. They thought she was nuts. The family thought she was a kook. She had crazy love. That's why the Holy Spirit wondered after her. How could that be? Isn't that wonderful how the Godhead rejoices? The Godhead rejoices in that lovely lady. Words could not describe it. But she's filled with the glory of God. And I want a crazy love like that. I really do. According to what the others may think. But you know those ones that think that Shulamite was crazy too were the same ones that said, oh, return, return, oh Shulamite. But you know what? She wouldn't come back. She was gone. Gone. And she's going to be gone soon. She's going to be gone. And his wife hath made herself ready. Let's pray.
Rise up, my fair one, and come away. The hour grows late, the time for thy coming is soon. Blessed time, make thyself ready.
Amen.
While every head is bowed, oh, the love wherewith ye are loved. Oh, the love wherewith ye are loved. God, in the name of your Son Jesus, help us to apprehend that love. Don't let us delay. May we come boldly this morning. And Lord, become anewed, refreshed, God quickened to run well. In Jesus' name, amen.